I'm sure if you're visiting here with us today, when they announced that we were going to be presenting the plans for 2008, you might have thought, why did I pick today? I hope you won't think that when we get through. We're going to do it a little bit differently, and I hope that it will not be long and drawn out. Becky Jackson asked me last week, she said, when are y'all going to present the plans for 2008? And I promised her before the 1st of April we would have it done. I said, yes, we will have it done by then. We as shepherds, ministers, and others have worked on this, and what we want to do today is just kind of lay before you as a congregation our desires for this congregation and kind of to challenge all of us. As we kind of, before we talk about 2008, if we can review a little of 2007, we had an exciting year. We look back at our 2007 presentation, and we accomplished several things, some things we did not accomplish, but of those accomplishments, probably the biggest thing, because it was for a while an inconvenience to us, but well worth it, was we built out our upstairs that we'd planned to for some time into a teen area, and it's been used by not only teens, but our children's worship, our preschool, and by others too. And we're so proud of that and those people that that worked on that. It was a big project, and it worked out very well, and we're just using it now and continuing to be using it. We had a great VBS this year. We really emphasized this year concentrating on our surrounding neighborhoods. We had more people just from this neighborhood, kids, and try to do some follow-up on those. And we still have people visiting us now that came here with their children for VBS. We had a good family retreat, which we've not had in a while, and we have that planned again for this year. Youth activities, there were very varied and a lot of them. Our youth have always been involved and continue last year for our fifth Sunday, the youth-led devotionals. Winterfest, which we're doing again. Two New Orleans mission trips, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, but our youth were really involved in that. That's been a great thing for them to do. We had Chelsea Brown last year as our summer intern, and we're going to miss her this year, but the law school has required her to do some things this summer, and we understand that. But we're already in the process of looking for a summer intern for our young kids here. Our kids were involved in VBS, had a very active youth committee, Trunk or Treat, Hayride, and the Christmas play. It's always such a big success and has so many people involved with that, and it's always fun to come to that. We, for some time, have been wanting to upgrade our website, but to be real honest, we just wanted to get it online. And so we had somebody that came to us, Tim Harrison, and he has helped us. If you had not looked at that, hhcoc.org, he has done a super job with that, he and some others, but just want to recognize him and know that it's there. We're going to continue to try to use that more this coming year. Our mission involvement, we're very glad to have Leon Philpott and his wife here today. We've been involved with that program with them some and others in Honduras, with building homes down there, medical eye clinics. Denny's been down there with helping them with the surgery. We've had two of our young men, Carson and Dean Hayes, that went to Panama. And then we've had the renewed effort at in the Gulf Coast. And this year in particular, we became associated with Carroll Street Church of Christ down there. Great group. Had about 26 people to go on those two trips. They've invited us back. We're planning another trip for that. But that's been good to have a particular group that we can go down and work with. We work with the Magi Boxes, Helping Hands International. Always makes me feel good on the TV from national stations when there's disasters around this country and internationally. They will so often be talking about Helping Hands International. They just ship that stuff out by semi-truckload. We contributed that financially. We had some people to go up there and even help with that. We had our Friends Day. Cannot miss our parade. That won our float, Christmas parade float, that won first place again this year, second time. Should have been third time. We were cheated out of it. Okay, we don't want to talk about that now. It's been a good day. Don't want to bring up old things, old wounds. Okay, and then family assistance. Bill Perry, who's here at this church, does a great work. We have so many people coming with needs and trying to decide how to help out those people, and you never know who you might be taking advantage of. But Bill helps us with that. He takes over that. And we spent between there and our Christmas baskets nearly $5,000. It's $4,600, but other individual contributions were made. this past year. Okay, looking toward 2008. In prior years, we've tried to bring you programs. We've tried to organize themes around a particular theme or something. We've had around youth, around families. And this year, we want to do that a little bit differently. We would like to take a little bit broader approach. We've been at this congregation in existence about 17 or 18 years. And we think, as we begin to meet together as shepherds and ministers and others, that we would like to kind of revisit our vision and our purpose. We've had many accomplishments in the past, but what do we do now? What does our future and what do we want it to look like? And so that is really going to be our plan for 2008, is planning for our future. How do we do this? And we want to talk with you briefly about kind of our plans for that. Okay. To do this, it requires planning. And we're going to start that out by having a congregational meeting on March the 2nd. It's probably going to be in the afternoon. We'll probably meet for a particular period of time, maybe an hour and a half, something like that, and then we'll eat afterwards. The purpose of that meeting will be to gathering information from you as a congregation, priorities you have, what do you want to see this congregation to become, any areas of interest, maybe some things that we want to emphasize more, some things maybe that we haven't looked at. We'll try to prepare you beforehand so when you come, you'll be ready to share those things together. Then from that, we want to develop a working group. We're going to ask some of you to serve on that. I think it's going to be an exciting group to work with, but I think it's going to require a lot of work. And what we're going to ask of that working group is to sift through those ideas and set some priorities for us, and then come back to this congregation maybe in 3 to 4 months and say, okay, here were your ideas. We've set some priorities. Here's the most important thing, and how do we go about now implementing those plans that you brought those ideas up? What we'd like to develop is kind of a 5-year plan and start out with a 1-year plan, maybe thinking about in the future into 5 years, and say, and then have long-range plans, but with short-term goals that we would try to meet. Another part of this year would be looking at our leadership at this church. As I was sitting around the table at our last elders meeting, I looked at all those men that were sitting there. Those men, and said, "These men are getting older." And yes, not me. Get that. I just happen to know some gray hair, and some of the others, or no hair. We want to look to future leaders. What's this congregation going to be? Who's going to be leading this congregation in the next 5 years? Who's going to be leading this congregation in the next 10 years? About the next 20 years? What we want to do is to be able to begin through this process, even of our working group and people working together, to identify people, to mentor those, disciple them, so that we can look forward to who's going to be future leaders here. Any company, any group, unless they plan for their future and who's going to lead that group, I think they failed. Because I know you've heard in the past about churches making change, and they say, well, unless somebody dies or resigns, you know, no change is going to be made. We don't want that to happen here. We want to have people that are going to be in line and are willing to take those roles. We'd like to look at potential shepherds, possibly look at deacons, ministry leaders, people to help us out with our budgeting and things like that, to develop a bigger plan than we have now. So through planning, through leadership, through involvement, we want to encourage growth. We have talked about this congregation, and we think we've been kind of on the verge of some growth, and sometimes in the past we've been disappointed because it hasn't happened. We have a great group here today. We've had them in the last 2 or 3 weeks. A lot of people have been here, and we appreciate that. It means so much to have people that are here and involved. But we've talked about larger numbers here, about growth, and it's time, I think, for us to not only talk about it, but try to put some plans in place for that. And that growth not only is numerical growth, but spiritual growth, that we grow spiritually as individuals, and by that, then we grow with our congregation. We cannot grow this congregation unless we grow ourselves spiritually. So that's what we'd like to look at this congregation, that we become better servants of our Lord. We want you to be excited about what's going on here and so you can tell others about it. Ministry goes on here every day. You don't know it. It's surprising to me when I come up here, not only our preschool, but so many days and they're not here, how much is going on in this on this building. People up here involved, upstairs, downstairs, a lot of things going on. And we have so many people that have stepped up and involved with those ministries. But it's also, there's opportunities here, and we need the support of this congregation and activities. And we already have some things planned for this coming year, and some of these have been announced this morning, but just to kind of quickly review those, we have our Super Bowl party. We have our Sweetheart Banquet. I want to tell you, I was riding behind Howard Kirksey the other day, right in front of him, person hit a possum. Howard got out, got that possum. I'm telling you, that possum stew is going to be fresh possum. I'm telling you now. I saw it. I don't want you to think maybe just saw one thrown over the side. No, I saw that. Ladies, you can look forward to that. Winterfest, a lot of plans going on that. We have a group that's going down just to do a roofing on the Carroll Street Church, and they're trying to plan another church. We have a group of people leaving to go and just to help them with the roofing. Congregational meeting, please mark that. We need everyone here. Mission trip back to New Orleans, that's at the last week of our the kids' spring break. Family retreat's already been planned. The dates are there. VBS we've got going. Short Mount Youth Camp, that's going to be for our kids this summer, and try to encourage them on that. And we've tried to schedule our Friends Day, which is a great time to invite others. As part of any involvement, it involves the budget. And in past years, we've tried to do a detailed thing, going through different ministries, seeing what to do. We decided not to do this year. We have copies of the budget. We've looked at that, and they'll be on the table in the foyer afterwards for you to pick up a copy of the budget this coming year. We basically want to look at our continuing programs, supporting those. As with your household and with the church household, expenses continue to increase. We put in a 5%, I think, that comes to our average last time was $4,550. We're asking this year for a budget of $4,800. And we would ask you to consider that in your giving and sit down with your family. We've always tried to live within our means. And that is important for the leadership of this church. That and we only have debt on our building, and it is more than we want, but it's not as bad as some people have to deal with as far as percentage of that. So one great thing about this of our build out last year, all this stuff that had to be done was all paid for. No money was borrowed to do all that. No money for the furnishings. For all that was done with money that you had given and very generously given. And we as shepherds certainly appreciate that. Okay, in closing, involvement. What is your calling? We believe that everyone here is here for a purpose. As Christians, we each, I think, have a calling. I do not know what brought you here initially. But when you became a member of this group, of this Highland Hills Church, I believe each one of us has a work that needs to be done. God, I firmly believe that God brings every person here for a reason and is trying to decide, where do I fit in? Where can my talents, where can my time, my energy be used for this congregation? We want to challenge everyone to think about that and what that might be for them. Maybe it's time to ask yourself, am I here to be ministered to only, or am I here to minister? We don't want to take away anything from the people that are doing so much. There's probably been more involvement in this church family by individual members this past year than I think since we started this congregation. Many of you have stepped up to that. We're just kind of asking ourselves again, what do I have to offer, and to try to figure that out. And hope we'll be able to do that this year as we develop these plans. Family, why has God called you to Highland Hills? I think all of us as elders, as ministry leaders, as members, I would ask each one of you to ask that of yourself. We are not here to put any kind of guilt trip on anybody. It doesn't work. And our purpose is not saying, oh, you're not doing anything, you need to find you something to do. I assure you that is not the purpose. But we just believe that God has called us to greater things. And we also believe for to accomplish those greater things, we need people involved in whatever way you can be. God has greatly blessed each of us. How can each of us honor and serve Him? We want to explore that in this year. We need your help, we need your prayers, and we need your support. Thank you.
Now, I just have a few moments to come behind Vic and just say a few things about what he just said. And you might be asking yourself, well, what is that that Shane has around his neck right there? Well, that is a wrestling medal. And I'm proud to wear that. And it is, I am up here wearing this wrestling medal on behalf of John Michael, the Mauler Moore, I'm going to ask John Michael if he'll come up here for just a second, because it goes right along with what I want to say this morning. Here he is. This little guy right here won this here medal yesterday. I tell you, I was sitting in my office working on my sermonette, because I was told I have just a few minutes, and that takes me longer than ever to prepare just a little bit. And the phone rang, and it was my friend Daryl, and I answered the phone, and it was a little bitty voice on there, and he said, "Mr. Shane, I just want you to know, I whooped four guys today and won myself a medal." So this is the championship medal for the under 50 or the 50 and under 55-pound weight division in the wrestling tournament yesterday, and this little guy won it. Now, that's important because last week, or the week before last, he didn't win a medal. There's a little kid with a mohawk that whooped everybody, but that didn't faze John Michael. He came back this week, and he kept wrestling, and he won. And there's something about that Moore family. You got to give it to him, because you got a champion cheerleader in the family. You got a champion baseball player and a champion wrestler. And hey, thanks a lot for letting me wear that. It's something in the genes in the Moore family, but they just can't stop winning stuff. But, you know, a lot of times we try to do stuff and it doesn't work out the way that we want it to. And stuff gets hard, life gets hard, and there's little kids with mohawks show up and they whoop you. And you don't really want to go back to the next tournament. But, you know, if we can follow that kind of example, you know, sometimes it gets tough. Sometimes, you know, finding out what your calling is and doing that calling is hard, because, you know, it's easy. And in these meetings that we've had, it's been easy to come up with, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? And this would be a great vision. But you know what happens? Once those meetings are over, well, Monday and Tuesday and Thursday, all those days happen, and you got to carry all that out. And that gets difficult. This morning, I want to focus very briefly on a passage of Scripture. My very first Friends Day that I was able to be here, I preached a sermon, and it was entitled, "Let's See That Again." I don't know if y'all remember that, or but you're going to hear at least the scripture from that, because it's one of my favorite passages, and it's found in Habakkuk chapter 3, starting in verse 2, and it says, "I have heard all about you, Lord. I've heard the stories, I've heard of your renown, I have heard of your glory, and I am filled with awe by the amazing things that you have done. In this time of our deep need, we need you to do those things again. We need you to show up one more time, God, and do the things that you're known for doing. We have heard of all of the great things. And you know what? At Highland Hills, we can look around and we can see on the internet and in the papers and all kinds of places where God's renown is just happening in churches and in ministries and in the lives of other people. And right here today, we are saying, God, we want you to do that here. We want you to do the amazing things and the monumental, historic, supernatural ministries that you are known for. We want that right here. We want to do those things. We want to be a part of those things. We no longer are we content to hear about other churches growing and bursting at the seams and having to bring in temporary buildings and putting up stuff and you know what? We want to do that and be a part of that. We want to see you do that, Lord. No longer are we content, and we've proven over the last few years and even before that, that we're not content just to sit on the sideline and to see other churches go and help people in need. You know what? We're just as likely to fill up a van full of people and tools and get to where the hurt is and help out, because that's what we want God to do through us. But we want God to continue to do those things, to do the supernatural and the acts of renown that He is known for. But you know, it's going to take some very specific things from His people. You know, when we think about being the hands and feet of God, when we think about Jesus, we are your hands and your feet, one of the things that we have to decide is, what does the fingerprint of Jesus look like through the Highland Hills Church of Christ? What does, you know, because, you know, hands and feet and all that, but the fingerprints are specific to the individual. In the Highland Hills, we have to decide what is specific to us. What does our fingerprint look like? And to do that, to see the renown of God happen, we have to know our individual role. This morning, I want to challenge you with, over the next, you know, days, if you don't do this over the next few days, weeks, months, you know, certainly as March the 2nd approaches and that big meeting, that's going to be a huge meeting. Again, mark that on your calendars. As that day approaches, pray about, think about, journal about, write down about, ask God for visions and dreams and things to tell, what is my role in bringing about all of the supernatural acts of renown that He is known for? You know, maybe it's just to encourage people. You know, maybe this year it's just to be here at church more. You know, as you look, you know, as people come in and visit, you know, one of the things that's detrimental to a second visit is if they visit an empty church building. You know, maybe in 2008 we can say, this is the year that I will be at every Sunday, every worship service, I will be there, or more than I've been ever before. I will be here. If for no other reason, when visitors come, they will see that this is a place that is alive and active and vibrant and full. Know your role, whatever it could be. Maybe it's bringing people in. But as you discover those things, as you find out what it is, there's going to be a couple things that happen as you discover your role. The first thing that's going to happen is you're going to get scared about, well, can I do that? Can I really do these things? And when you get out there in the middle of it, it's going to be even more scary because there's all kinds of risks involved, and maybe there's more of me, you know, at stake than I realize. You see, God brings about the victory in whatever the role is, whatever, you know, whatever your role, whatever your ministry is. Whatever that ministry that God has placed on your heart, know that God brings the victory, but it's men and it's women who swing the swords. You see, if God's going to bring about the renown and the supernatural on this earth, He's going to have to bring it about through us. Whether it's in 1 Samuel where David is fighting the Philistines, whether it's Jonathan and the Amalekites, whether it's the whole Israelite nation as they go through the Exodus and they see the Amalekites for the first time, whatever those battles are, God does bring the victory. But men and women are swinging those swords. And if we're going to grow, if we're going to do the things and bring about the mighty acts that God is capable of doing, we're going to have to pick up some swords and start swinging. And that's called ministry. It's called ministering to people, feeding them, clothing them, loving them, going to places where they are and meeting needs as they are. And that gets scary. And problems come up. And there's times where we might get discouraged. And it's easy to look at all of the obstacles that are in the way. And if we want to bring about the change, if we want to bring about the growth, if we want to bring about the kingdom, there are going to be obstacles and problems and circumstances that we really don't want to deal with. And we're real good at talking about all of those problems and the obstacles. But I'm telling you, church, if we are going to be the people that God intends us to be, it is time to stop talking to God about how big our problems are and start telling our problems how big our God is. And we will see what they saw. And we will be a part of a movement in this place that stretches into this town and this community that has never been seen before. And I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be a part of a leadership group that is willing to step out on faith, to step out in so much faith that sometimes it's just, you don't really know where it's going, but willing to empower people to be who God has called them to be. This morning is a very specific and very encouraging time. And as we go into the next few weeks and the next few months, at no other time in the history of this congregation will prayer be so important as it is right now. At no other time will involvement and activity and study and just being spiritual people be more important than it is right now. For some people, it's going to be renewing a role that they once had and deciding to just let go of all of the worldly things that have encumbered that walk and picking that up again. For others, it's going to be finding a relationship with God for the first time so that they can be a part of this. But whatever that looks like, whatever that process, whether you're at the beginning of it, in the middle of it, or you're in the end and you're just encouraging others, whatever that looks like, God can meet you where you are and empower you along this journey. If you need to confess His name and to put Him on in baptism this morning to begin a new walk with Him, a relationship unlike any relationship you've ever had, now you can do that and you can start this year going down that journey and down that path. If you need to be restored so that you can find that role again, do that. Whatever your need is, would you make it known as together we stand and as we sing.